We present Capital Gains by Colin Johnston with Peter Jones as Julius Hutch. Episode 4, Capital Return.
Dear Pauline, my arrest and subsequent imprisonment is a matter of some embarrassment to me. After posting my last to you, after our enchanting evening amongst the roses, I found myself drawn as though by homing instinct back to Nightingale Crescent. I arrived there close to midnight and was tremendously reassured to find my house still standing and looking in the moonlight exactly as I'd seen it many times before. I got as far as inserting my front door key in the lock and was about to turn it when the question arose in my mind of whether I could really just enter and take up residence once more as if nothing had happened. I withdrew the key and, after a moment's reflection, walked directly to the police station. "I am Julius Hutch," I said to the duty sergeant, "and I have come home." "I'm very glad to hear it, sir," he said. And then there was a bit of a lull. The sergeant was politeness itself. Was I lost, he wondered. Did I need assistance? Had I enjoyed my holiday? I explained that none of these things were troubling me and put the facts of the matter, touching on the £4,601,740.72 delivered to me in error by the Bank of Hong Kong and the islands. "Very interesting, sir," said the sergeant. He then went to consult his files, returning a little while later to explain that no warrant for my arrest had been issued, and any business between me and the bank was no concern of his. He wished me good night. I walked home feeling thwarted, rather, but my last action before retiring to sleep in my house, which was exactly as I'd left it, if rather dustier, was to place a call to the London offices of Reuters News Agency. That did the trick, and I was taken into custody soon after dawn the following morning, to the accompaniment of flash bulbs and cameras. Ah, what price celebrity! I had thought that the prison letters of Julius Hutch would be an impressive work, possibly running to several volumes. However, I just heard that the authorities have agreed to my release on bail tomorrow morning. Accordingly, I'm penning this in some haste in order that there may be at least one prison letter of Julius Hutch. There is, I suppose, a possibility that I shall return to this accommodation, or one very similar, and in that case I shall dedicate myself to writing letters of campaign to our leaders on matters of national importance. I have been here now for 24 hours, which is quite a long time to live in the hospitality of the state. How curious it is that some experiences seem to contain their opposite meaning. Upon entry into Her Majesty's prison, Pentonville, I experienced a baffling sense of all things, release. And do you believe me if I tell you that I enjoyed the best night's sleep since my odyssey began? What's happened, I suppose, is that the anxiety of my fugitive condition, never completely absent from my mind during the time of my wanderings, has now left me entirely. The worst has happened. I have been apprehended, but I'm still here. And in this last chapter of this particular strand of my life story, at least now my doings need not be furtive. Hoping for better quarters, affectionately, Julius.
Dear Julius, long way from that nice quiet retirement you were looking forward to. Gentleman of independent means, international financier, market maker, and lately, jailbird. Whatever next? You've certainly managed to keep the firm busy in recent times. If we continue at this rate, I may have to take on more staff. Do let me know if you have any more grandiose schemes up your sleeve. That's assuming you're in agreement with me that this particular history stands ready to be resolved. Of course, by now, I understand that it's safe to assume nothing where Hutch International is concerned, but it would be nice to be kept in the picture. I followed your instructions, and everything is now prepared. Say when, and I'll let slip the dogs of law. What fun! Hugely entertained, yours, Sexton. P.S. The woods are waiting.
Dear Daddy, Your spectacular dawn arrest made the television news here. I was so proud of you. I thought you carried yourself with as much poise as Socrates himself would have done. You old philosopher, you. I did think it was witty of them to set bail at £4,601,740.72. I've come to know Peter Fang quite well over the past few months. He's made a point of visiting us personally at each phase of the purchase. I must say that he's been charm itself, and he seems to have become quite an important person at the Bank of Hong Kong and the islands. I can tell that, because each time he visits us, he drives a bigger car. In fact, the last time, he was chauffeured. I've had the geophysical survey done, as you asked. The report is enclosed. Makes interesting reading, doesn't it? Take that, together with the fact that whenever we ask Mr. Fang how he's going to develop the site, he always has to rush away to avoid being late for an appointment. Funny that, when we're 200 miles from Adelaide and the nearest office is. And I think our suspicions were correct. 6 years now since the fires. The winery shows no sign of them. The water gardens we've made and the trees we've planted do a lot to cool the place in the summer. The little ones love it here. And I'll be heartbroken too to leave it. When it's all over, you must come and see your grandchildren again. And we'll put the whole thing to rest over a chilled bottle of Kate's champagne. Looking forward to the case. I think it'll be a hoot. Lots and lots. Kate.
Dear Julius, congratulations on your release from captivity. What a relief. I have returned to my life at the bank, having by now used up all the accumulated leave due to me. The pace at work seems slow after all my adventures and travels of the past few months, but up to a point I enjoy the routine. I say up to a point. I think it is that by travelling to all those exotic places that I have become aware that life needn't be quite so dull as it has been at times. The only time I had travelled abroad previously was once, when I was 19. I went to Corsica. We were camping near a beach, and one morning I got up very early and walked down to the sea to watch the dawn. As the sun rose, I had this moment which I must have forgotten about since. It was a moment when I realized it wasn't difficult to get away, to go traveling, see new things, think new things. I did forget that for sure, because I've never traveled since. It makes me wonder what the middle part of my life has been about. The partnership idea you suggested the other evening has given me a lot to consider. It would involve changing all sorts of things. As you know, I did try something of the kind once before, but that was a long time ago. You will understand if I take a little time to think it over. I must admit the idea is very exciting. It gives rise to other feelings too, which I can't write down. You seem to regard the forthcoming court case very philosophically. From your letters and from talking to you in the Rose Garden, I don't find that surprising. I do know that I would not be so calm. Well, I'm not calm about it. If luck has anything to do with the outcome, I'm sure it will go well. I think it's fair to say, Mr. Hutch, that you are the luckiest man I've ever met. With love, Pauline.
From Peter Fang, Chief Executive, Investment Division, to the Board of Governors, the Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands. Top secret. Esteemed Governors, I am able to tell you that we are only a few days away from signing the final papers in relation to the purchase of Kate's Winery in South Australia. The Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands has so far invested $65 million on the research and purchase of this vineyard and necessary equipment. There has been much speculation as to why we are interested in it. This has boosted our share price nicely. As soon as the final papers are signed, Operation License to Print will begin. I, Peter Fang, will not see the first installations, because I personally shall be flying to London to attend the criminal proceedings against Julius Hatch. Not only will the 4,601,740 pounds 72 pence come back to us, but we shall also claim all the other millions of profit that he has made using our money. Esteemed governors, we are on the verge of great victory. Nothing can go wrong.
Dear Pauline, yes, of course I understand that you will want time to think it over. As with any business proposition, the time has to be right, and all the various documents, funds, and goods in the right place. Not something to be rushed into. And after all, Lao Tse says, in business, watch the timing. I did so appreciate your gift. A rose cast in glass. It makes an admirable paperweight, and very apt, for these two elements, paperwork and roses, are uppermost in my life at the moment. Indeed, at present, each one rather vies for first place in my consciousness. It may be the result of too much of the one and too little of the other during the years of my travels, and previously, but I find my interest inclines firmly towards the flowers, and scarcely at all in the worldly direction. I'd now become so accustomed to surprise as almost to have the habit of it, but that my heart should be so expanded in this new direction is the most surprising thing yet. You sign your last letter to me with love. Let me hope, then, that I'm not entirely foolish to wish that one day soon you will ask me to show you the dotted line. With love, too. Julius.
Facsimile transmission from Sexton Lewis and Partners to Mr. Peter Fang, Company Secretary, Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands. Dear Mr. Fang, we act for Mr. Julius Hatch. Our client has instructed us to contact you for the express purpose of putting to you certain facts of which you may have been previously unaware. Our client particularly wishes to disclose these facts to you, pending your forthcoming court action against him. It has come to our notice that the Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands have taken a commercial position in regard to a vineyard by the name of Kate's Winery in South Australia. You may remember that your intention, as stated in the contract, was to exploit the reserves of copper lying deep beneath the surface of the property in question. It is with some surprise, therefore, that we learn that the principal mineral deposit beneath the surface of Kate's Winery is not, in fact, copper, but uranium. That is point number one. Point number two, which arises directly out of point number one, unfolds as follows. It is simply that in recent years the Australian government has passed certain environmental legislation, including very strict controls on just this substance of uranium. Only last month, by an amendment to the said legislation, the said Australian government was empowered to take action in the way of seizure of assets and capital, if their environmental code is breached, and all this notwithstanding anything two individual parties may have said in contract to each other. Point number three may be regarded as a further complicating factor in this situation. In your dealings and researches with Kate Winery, you will doubtless have become aware that 51% of the stock has at all time been retained by a company called Getting and Spending Limited, which is registered in the British Virgin Islands, where the Bank of those islands acts as trustee for a certain individual. And there your researches will have come to a halt. The Bank of the British Virgin Islands has never made disclosure of the identity of any such individual without that individual's express consent. But we are now able to inform you, indeed our client has instructed us to do so, that he and the individual indicated above are one and the same person. Therefore, when under contract you release the final tranche of millions required to purchase Kate's Winery and the aforementioned 51% of stock finally passes to you, you will in fact be buying from none other than Julius Hatch. It is worth mentioning here that our client, Mr. Hatch, used a certain portion of an original sum of money, some £4,601,740 and 72 pence, to create and register Getting and Spending Limited, the parent company, which now owns, among other things, 51% of Kate's winery. It could be said, then, that you were using a considerable sum of your own money to purchase something that, in one sense, you already own. We would go so far as to say, having brought to bear the finest legal minds at our disposal on the situation, the facts could be so interpreted in a court of law. Ah, Mr. Fang, if only life were that simple. Which brings me to point number four. You may be aware that our client is now a very wealthy man, but it is unlikely that you realize just how wealthy he has become. He is, in his own words, incomprehensibly, absurdly wealthy. During the creation of the said wealth, our client deemed it prudent to acquire some 84% of the non-voting shares in the Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands. Your bank, in fact. He has also acquired, by process of delicate and formidably expensive negotiation, sufficient of the closely guarded voting shares in that said bank to convert under the bank's articles of association the aforementioned non-voting shares into voting shares. As sophisticated business people, you will realize at once the implications of such a move. Once realized, it will give our client, as the controlling shareholder, complete control over the board of directors, and therefore all future activities of your bank, as well as access to virtually all the capital. Currently, some $16.5 billion. You may wish to proceed in your action against Mr. Hutch. It goes without saying that a case of this complexity could last well into the 21st century. But what would happen in the interim? Perhaps Mr. Hutch himself might feel forced to disclose, however reluctantly, certain details regarding the negotiations outlined above. Ugly words spring to mind. As for the uranium itself, we all know that that is a sensitive substance which requires handling of the most exquisite delicacy. What is to be done? Happily, there is an alternative. Our client, Mr. Hutch, cordially invites you to discuss over luncheon certain ideas that occur to him. In view of the time situation, you may like to fax us by return. Yours very sincerely, Sexton Lewis, Senior Partner.
Dear Julius, I have only a few words to say. Where do I sign? Much love, Pauline.
Dear Mr. Fang, perhaps now that we are finally acquainted, I may call you Peter. What an inspired idea it was to meet at the London annual tea-tasting ceremony. I'm sure we are kindred spirits after all. What an equally inspired idea of yours, I think it was yours, to run Kate's Winery as a theme park in conjunction with the state of South Australia, showing how uranium would have been used in the bad old days before ethical investors like yourself had come to the fore. Incidentally, I gather that one of your principal witnesses in the case against me was to have been a lady by the name of Pauline Tone. I'm afraid that would never have worked, Peter. You see, only last week, Pauline Tone did me the honour to consent to become the second Mrs. Hutch. As I'm sure you know, spouses cannot be forced to testify against one another. I'm absolutely delighted that we've managed to iron out all our potential disagreements. And may I take the opportunity to congratulate you on your forthcoming promotion. Good luck and good business. Yours, Julius.
Dear Daddy, dear Pauline, welcome. Now, first things first. Go out to veranda. Look for sign of courting wombats. Find bottle fizzy liquid in ice bucket. Drink immediately. End of instructions. Over to you. Many congrats. We're thrilled for you both. Loads from us all, Kate and family.
Dear Kate, what a honeymoon you gave us. I have travelled to all sorts of exotic places since my acquaintance with your father began, but the holiday at Kate's new winery just north of the Hunter Valley in New South Wales has been the best of all the travelling. I think now that I have tasted it, that you are right. Australian wine is the best in the world. Julius is keen to import Kate's wines into Britain. In fact, he's full of plans for the future. I thought he might be ready to settle down with his books, but no, it seems that he feels there is too much to do.
I suppose that's what decided me in the end. To accept Julia's proposal seemed like a step into the unknown, but I did know that whatever life would be like with this man, it would not be dull. He's made a will. I don't think he's ready to depart just yet, but he said the other day that he's always been behind with his paperwork, and this is the one document he wants to prepare in advance. Doubtless it will change and change again as he chases after new ideas. I'm sending you a copy so you can see what he's planning, but don't worry, he's as energetic as ever. Julius often speaks of his surprise now that everything is finally sorted out with the Bank of Hong Kong and the islands, and Julius is finally, legally, one of the wealthiest men in the world. I realise just how surprised I am as well. He's a great quoter, my new husband. I think I'm catching it from him. My mother used to say, and she was right, the future is never what you think it will be. Lots of love to you, Kate, and to the family. Pauline.
Press release from the Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands. The Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands is delighted to announce a revolutionary approach to personal banking. In the last few years, the Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands has employed Mr. Julius Hodge for the specific task of traveling the world to make a series of special endowments to individuals in need. And the Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands has supplied the whole of the original funding for this project. This generosity was set up as a large-scale experiment to see if the latest developments in chaos theory could be applied to personal banking. The Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands is delighted with the success of this innovative project. Not only has our raised profile attracted more investment, thus benefiting our shareholders, but we have been able to help many people in troubled circumstances. We wish to clarify a misunderstanding that has arisen, namely that funds were given to Mr. Hutch by accident, who then absconded with them, and that ever since we at the Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands have been working night and day, 7 days a week, to get in touch with Mr. Hutch again. This is complete fantasy. As president of the bank, I, Peter Fang, hereby categorically state that the misunderstanding is no more than a vicious rumor put around by our competitors. The Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands will continue to make these bold new initiatives to push back the frontiers of what banking is today and what banking may be tomorrow.
This is the last will and testament of me, Julius Hutch. Being of sound mind, I hereby revoke all former wills and codicils. It is from a condition several magnitudes beyond astonishment that I find myself possessed of an astronomical sum of money, many billions of pounds sterling, a sum sufficient, I suppose, to run a short war, were I so minded. Finding myself in that area of life where the great banker in the sky can at any moment be expected to deliver the final statement, the vexing question of what to do with it all must be given some sort of consideration. The needs in the world are so many and so obvious, one would think it a relatively simple thing with such a fortune to, for example, relieve famines, or fund medical research, or plant many millions of trees, or commission the design of a water-powered motor car, or pump the gases of consciousness-expanding drugs into parliamentary sessions the world over. The possibilities are endless. During my years of self-imposed exile, I came to understand, as never before, the imperative at the core of us all, to be able to call a certain patch of ground one's own. Therefore, I propose the following: that my ridiculously vast personal fortune be used to purchase all available and unused property wherever there are homeless people. that the funds be used to safely and generously convert these buildings into living spaces to the highest of standards. That these converted properties be given freehold to those without homes. This is a utopian vision. Were it ever to come to pass, it would require so much cooperation between all social agencies as to make quite a new precedent. As a limbering up to this required cooperation, I also propose, by way of a condition, a more modest project. It must be obvious to even the meanest intelligence, and therefore presumably also to our politicians, that one of the greatest single obstacles to any sort of dignified survival here on Earth is the continued use of the internal combustion engine. Much has been written and said on this subject, and it doesn't need an old dullard like me to point out once again the blindingly obvious. I have a condition, then. It is this. On the day that 1,000 white bicycles are released for public use from Hyde Park Corner, my funds will be made available as outlined above. Signed, Julius Hutch.
Financial news now, and the four main British high street banks responded with caution to the announcement from the Bank of Hong Kong and the Islands that it would be adopting the principles of chaos theory and giving the stuff away at random. A statement from senior banking officials the world over said that such a move could threaten the very fabric of society. But, in a random opinion poll where people from every country on earth were questioned, 100% were in favour, and no one had any objections.
In Capital Return, final episode of Capital Gains by Colin Johnson, Peter Jones was Julius Hutch, Celestine Randall, Mrs. Pauline Tone, Geoffrey Wickham, Sexton Lewis, Justine Midder, Kate, Peter Whitman, Peter Fang, and Colin Johnson, the newsreader. Capital Gains was directed by Andy Jordan.